Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for being here. Brishus Rabbi Reisman and Brishus the entire family. I acknowledge the presence of my mother as well. When Anna asked me to speak, of course, I immediately said yes. We weren't sure exactly when and how, but Baruch Hashem, we pulled it out. And here we are. And the description that you gave me of your mother, which is being echoed by Chazki tonight and Rabbi Reichman, the picture of a woman of tremendous strength, a woman who always found a way to make meaningful the travels of life, really led to tonight's topic, which we called Simchas HaChaim, through the journey of life. I want to begin with this past week's Parsha, and I want to begin with a very sad scene in this past week's Parsha. Let's just try to picture this for a moment together. You have this unbelievable celebration of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It's such a big celebration that the Gemara describes it as the happiest day since creation of the world. It parallels the creation of the world, probably because it fulfills the purpose of creation of the world, which is that God should have a presence in this world. That there should be a Mishkan, that there should be a place of Hashras HaShchina, of divine influx. And it's an unbelievable celebration. It finally has reached the heights, the climax of the celebration. No longer will we assemble and disassemble the Mishkan by Yehi Yom HaShmini. The Mishkan is ready. Klal Yisrael gathers around. It's going to be this unbelievable display of Kvod Shemayim. Hashem is going to present Himself. The Jewish people are going to experience God like never before. And suddenly tragedy strikes. The terrible tragedy of the death of Nadav and Avihu. Two sons of Aaron. A very holy death. A complicated death. Much has been written about it on a deeper level. It was not a simple death. They died by bringing a carbon that God did not ask for. An Eish Zara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher Lo Tziva Hashem. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this unbelievable celebration, there's this terrible sadness. And someone needs to provide Kavod Achron, to provide a proper burial for the sons of Aaron who have just passed away. And if you look in the first source on the page, Vayikra Moshe El Mishael El Eltzafan, Moshe calls to his cousins, Mishael and Eltzafan, B'nei Uziel Dod Aaron, that's just a roundabout way of saying Moshe's first cousins, Vayomer Aleim Kirvu Su'u Asachecha Mi'eis Pnei HaKodesh El Michutz L'machana. Moshe taps Mishael and Eltzafan on the shoulder and says, my dear cousins, I need your help. We have a tragedy here, a terrible loss. I need someone to take the bodies out and to give them a proper burial. Try to put ourselves for a moment in the shoes of Mishael and Eltzafan. This is the moment the world's been waiting for. Again, Hashras HaShchina, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, a celebration like creation itself. All of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, are gathered in front of the Mishkan. And all of a sudden, these two individuals are tapped on the shoulder and said, you two, take out the bodies, become tamei meis, have contact with a corpse, and not only will the bodies be taken chutz l'machane, but the two of you are being sent out of the camp for the next week. It takes a week to go through the process of purification. So here they were thinking, we've been waiting like everyone else to be a part of this celebration. We want to be present, we want to enjoy, we want to experience the divine, and all of a sudden, for the next week, chutz l'machana, it seems so unfair. It seems so painful. I saw in a beautiful sefer from a rav from Staten Island, Rabbi Shane from Staten Island, called the Birchas Ish. He gives the following mashal to explain what must have been going through their mind and the choice that they had to make in that moment. Before I share with you the mashal, I want to just draw your attention to the unusual trup over the word kirvu. You see the large word kirvu in source number one. And you'll notice, for those who are familiar with the musical notes of the Torah, there appears not just a single note, but two notes. What I referred to, the first note is referred to as a Tlisha Gedola, and the second one, the one that looks like a quotation mark, is called Ger Shayim. And it's unusual to find a double trup, to find a double musical notation on a single word of the Torah. Why does it appear? So Rabbi Shane from Staten Island told the following mashal. He said, imagine a young man, a ben yeshiva, someone who's very enthusiastic about his experience in yeshiva. It's Shavuos. It's the last day of Shavuos. He's on his way back to yeshiva for the closing ceremony, for the Ne'ilah Sachag. He's very excited to be with all of his friends. He's excited to hear words of inspiration from his Rebbeim, his Rosh Yeshiva. He's excited to sing and dance. He's excited for the good food that they put out. He's looking forward. He gets inspiration from this event for months. It's going to carry him literally for months. To inspire him. Shavuos, a day of Kabbalah Sator. He wants to lock it in. He wants to soak it up. And he's on his way back to yeshiva, and as he walks past one of the homes on the street, he notices a young boy sitting on the front steps of his home, and he's crying, he's sobbing to himself. So this young yeshiva bachur, he walks over, goes over to the young boy, who he knows a little bit from the neighborhood, doesn't know him very well, knows his name. He says, Chaim, why are you crying? What's wrong? So the little boy looks up, he sees someone standing there, and he says, you know, my mother's not well, she's in the hospital. And my father went this afternoon to visit my mother. And he promised me that he'd be back at 5 o'clock. He left at 2 o'clock, he told me back at 5. I guess the boy was old enough to stay home for a couple hours by himself. He says, it's already 5:05, my father's not back yet, I'm getting anxious. So he says to him, okay, I'm sure he'll be back any minute. He says, yeah, but you know, it's starting to get a little bit dark, I'm scared to be by myself. Do you think maybe you could stay with me? And this yeshiva bachar's thinking, the event of the year for me is the Ne'ilas HaChag of Shuas. There's no place I want to be more than with my friends, with my Rosh Yeshiva, the singing, the dancing, the Torah, the food, the whole Avira. I can't. And then he looks at this little boy with the tears streaming down his face and he says, you know, he's thinking maybe I can take him to a neighbor. I'm sure his father will be back any minute anyways. Maybe I can just give him some words of chizuk and calm him down. I'm sure everything will be fine. And then he says to himself, why do I even want to go to the Ne'ilas HaChag? Why do I want to go to yeshiva? It's a good time. It's inspiring. I'm looking for inspiration. But who provides inspiration? Hashem provides inspiration. Hashem determines if I'm going to have an inspired year or not. So you know what? Hashem asked me to discover this little boy sitting on his front steps crying. And Hashem gave that opportunity to perform the chesed with this child to me. Not that I should pass it off to a neighbor. Not that I should rationalize why the kid's going to be okay. Hashem wants me to stay with this child. And he decides in that moment, if I do what Hashem wants, that's not going to decrease my inspiration for the year. Hashem will, maybe this will inspire me more than the Ne'ilas HaChag. And if not, I'm sure Hashem will find a way to make sure I have an inspired year. And he made the choice to stay with that child. With an understanding that it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting him in a difficult situation, it was Hashem giving him a unique opportunity to be close to Hashem in a different way than he had anticipated. Says Rabbi Shane from Staten Island, in the Birchas Ish, the trup on the word kirvu. What are the name of these two cantillations, these two musical notes? The first one I told you, it looks like a search symbol or a lollipop. It's called the Tlisha Gedola. What does the word Tlisha mean? Tlisha means detached. Tolesh means plucking something out of the ground. It's one of the prohibitions on Shabbos. You pluck something out of the ground on Shabbos, it's called Tolesh. Tlisha Gedola. You know what Tlisha Gedola means? A great detachment. And you know what the second musical note, the one that's called Ger Shayim, what does Ger Shayim mean? What does Gimel Resh Shin mean? When Adam HaRishon got kicked out of Gan Eden, it says Vayiga Resh. The Rambam calls the laws of divorce Hilchos Gerishin. It means detachment, separation. So you can imagine what was going on in the minds of who? Of Mishael and Elzaphan. They're thinking, Hashem, come on. This is a Tlisha Gedola. You're sending us Chutz L'machana. You're kicking us out of the camp. This is Ger Shayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're exiling us. You're distancing us. And Moshe Rabbeinu, sensing how Mishael and Elzaphan must have been feeling, Moshe says, this is not Tlisha Gedola. And this is not Ger Shayim. What does the word say? Kirvu. This is an opportunity to come close to Hashem. Change your attitude. You think that you're the one who is the unfortunate one who is going to have to what? Deal with these dead bodies and go Chutz L'machane. You're the one who's been given that unique opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a unique opportunity to be close to Him in a way that maybe is different than the way that you anticipated. In life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us to a lot of different places. And Hashem challenges us to find meaning in those experiences. And not to be frustrated by it, not to be burdened by it, and not to wonder how I can change the situation to the way that I want it to be, but to be able to respond, if Hashem put me in this situation, what does Hashem want from me? Why did Hashem send me here? There's an amazing story. There was a couple that was traveling on the East Coast, traveling from the East Coast, rather, to the West Coast for Yontif. It was also with Shavuos. They wanted to spend time with their family in Los Angeles. And they're on a plane, they're on a flight, they're on their way to the West Coast, and all of a sudden, the captain, the pilot, gets on the loudspeaker. We're experiencing some technical difficulties, and we're going to have to land the plane, an emergency landing. And they land somewhere in the middle of America, and the couple realize, we're not making it to Los Angeles to be with the kids for Yontif. We're spending Yontif, at best, in a Chabad house where we don't know anyone. They didn't know anyone there. There were no relatives there. And in a moment of frustration, the husband picked up his phone and he calls his rabbi and he says, Rebbe, you know, we were heading from wherever, New York, New Jersey, to Los Angeles, and now we're stranded. We're in the middle of nowhere. We don't know anyone. We're not going to make it in time for Yom Tov. There's no way we're going to make it to Los Angeles by the time we find the flight. It's just, it's not happening. And he says to his Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, what should we do? We're stuck here for Yom Tov. And the Rebbe says, stuck? A Jew is never stuck. A Jew is sent. Hashem is sending you there for Yom Tov. Why Hashem wants you there for Yom Tov? What your experience is going to be like? It may be sitting in a hotel room, you know, husband and wife, eating potato chips, because that's the only kosher food you can find. It's not going to be the beautiful Yom Tov Suda that your son and daughter-in-law prepared, waiting for you in Los Angeles with your grandkids. You're not stuck. A Jew is never stuck. A Jew is sent. When a person realizes that it's kirvu, it's not tlisha gadola, it's not a great detachment, it's not gershayim, it's not Hashem casting you away. But it's a question of how we choose to approach those moments in life. Do we have the right attitude? Do we see ourselves as messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being sent on a mission? I want to learn with you one of my favorite pieces of Torah, maybe. I know it's a bold statement, but it comes from a beautiful little sefer written by Aslanim or Chassid. Lived about 50, 60 years ago. He lived in Tveria. The name of the sefer is called Avodas Pnim, and it was written by a Jew named Rav Aaron Luria. And he writes a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful approach to some of the more challenging moments of life. I shared this piece actually very recently. A young man came to me, got married a little less than a year ago, and he's having some trouble in his marriage, some shalom bias issues. And he felt, as a person who's a serious Torah scholar, and he felt very frustrated by the fact that all of his, you know, difficulties at home have really taken a toll on his spirituality. He says, I can't daven well, I can't learn well. And I said to him, I want to learn a piece of Torah with you. Because your avoda right now is not to necessarily daven your best or learn your best. Your avoda right now, your mitzvah right now, is to focus on what? Dealing with your shalom bias. Instead of morning seder, afternoon seder, time with your marriage therapist is what you need. That's your mitzvah. That's what Hashem is asking of you. And we learned together over the phone the following piece. It says the Avodas Pnim in source number 2. Ein shum minia la'adam be'avodas Hashem yisbarach. There are no minios. There's no such thing as a blockage in the service of Hashem. It's not possible for a Jew with the proper perspective to say, this is a situation where I can't serve God. No such thing. But the way that I serve God, the way that I connect to Hashem in a time of tremendous pressure, dochak, when I'm stressed out, when there's a lot on my plate, is very different than the sug avoda, than the type of avoda that I'm able to serve Hashem when I have peace of mind. And in that different situation, the avoda, the way that I serve Hashem, changes, and the order of operations changes. Like a person who changes from one garment to another garment. They're both called clothing, but one is a gray sweater and one is a black sweater, right? One is a blue skirt and one is a pink skirt, right? They're both called clothing, they're both called garments. And so too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us different mitzvos, which are referred to Kabbalistically as garments, so Hashem says, sometimes you wear this garment, sometimes you wear that garment. Or if a person is studying Bava Kama, and then they switch to study Ksubis. Or a person is learning Chumash Bereishis, and now they're learning Sefer Shmuel. On the inside, it's all the Word of God, it's all the same Torah. It's different concepts. Bava Kama is different than Ksubis, and Bereishis is different than Shmuel. And Shmuel is different than Malachim, but it's all Hashem's Torah. That inner point of service of Hashem is found in everything. But Hashem asks us to do very different things depending on the situation. The same way there's an appropriate way to dress when a person is exercising at the gym, and there's an appropriate way to dress when one goes to a wedding. There's different garments for different occasions. So the same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. Depending on the place, depending on the time, depending on the situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to wear different garments. Okay, if you go over to the left-hand column, he says about 6 lines from the end, V'hinei im ha-melech yitzav la'avdo, if the king were to command his servant, la'asos eiza avoda, imagine the king loves ice cream. I don't know why I always use ice cream, but that's the example I always use. Imagine the king loves ice cream. And the king asks for vanilla ice cream. Okay, stay calm for you chocolate lovers. We'll get there in a second. The king asks for vanilla ice cream. So the servant says, well, hold on a second. I know that the king likes chocolate the best. I know. Why is he asking for vanilla? You know what? I'm going to bring the king chocolate. I know the king likes chocolate. That's the king's favorite flavor. It must be a mistake that the king asked for vanilla. I know better than the king. I'm going to bring chocolate. Says the avodah spinim, if the king commands you to do a particular avodah, the king asks for vanilla ice cream, v'hu yasa avodah acheres, and you decide to be an uber chacham, I know better, but I know the king loves chocolate the most. Hagam shehi gam avodah samelech, it's true, that's something the king often desires and asks for, but that's not what the king asks for right now. Nikra moreid b'malchus chas v'shalom. Not only are you not called, an okay, so you're a rebel. No, but your favorite thing's chocolate. But that's not what I asked for. I didn't ask you for chocolate right now. I asked you for vanilla. And the king could say, off with your head. You're moreid b'malchus, you've rebelled against the king. You violated the king's command. Al kein tzarech ha'odim tamin lishmoa belibo mahu ratzon Hashem action. And therefore a person has to ask himself or herself at every given moment, what is Hashem asking of me now? Someone once came to the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sukhachev. Person wasn't well. With the same complaint that young man who reached out to me about his Shalom Bayis problems. Rebbe, I'm sick, I'm not well. I can't daven, I can't learn, I can't go to shul, I can't do the mitzvot the way that I'd like to do mitzvot, and I can't serve Hashem the way I want to serve Hashem. And the Rebbe of Sukhachev said to him, you only have one mitzvah. So he says, what do you mean? I'm Jewish, there are 613 mitzvahs. The Sukhachev said, you have one mitzvah. A chola, a person who's not well, has one mitzvah. You know what the one mitzvah you have is? Nishmartem ma'od l'nafsho seichem. Take care of yourself. Don't feel bad about the Gemara that you're not learning, you're not keeping up with Daf Yomi. Don't worry about that. That's not your mitzvah right now. Your mitzvah is to take care of yourself. That's your mitzvah. Like Adam Arishon in Gan Eden, when Adam and Chava had one thing to focus on, don't eat from that tree, or with the singular focus of the Kohen Gadol, being the only person who could do the Avodah the way that he's doing it on Yom Kippur. When Hashem puts you in a situation, you have to ask yourself, what does Hashem want from me now? What's my mitzvah right now? Mahu ratzon Hashem achshav. Va'al zeh amru, in the last line, Ashrei ish sheyishma l'mitzvosech. Praiseworthy is the person who listens to what Hashem commands you. Not what do I want to do. Not what feels right. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the freedom from Egypt, is not all that different than probably the feeling that Mishael and Elzaphan had when they were feeling trapped by their unfortunate lot of having to bury Nadav and Aviv. Jews were sitting in Mitzrayim, and they were dreaming of the Holy Land. 10 years go by. 20 years go by. 50 years go by. Right? Is there any more stuck than that? 75 years go by. 100 years go by. Right? Rabbanu Shalom, we're stuck. Hashem says, you're not stuck. I'm sending you to Mitzrayim. 115 years go by, 130 years go by, 175 years go by. Are we ever getting out of here? 200 years go by, the Jews are still sitting in Mitzrayim. 210 years, finally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally, Vayeda Elokim, Hashem starts to pay attention. The Jews experience open miracles, Nisim and Aflaus, Makos, and Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. You can imagine how frustrated they must have been. Why did you put us through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But Klal Yisrael understood, as they left Mitzrayim, this was part of the process. This was a stop along the journey of life. And there's things we can accomplish in Mitzrayim that we can't accomplish at Har Sinai. There's things that we want to accomplish at Har Sinai that we can't get to until we've gone through the training course of Mitzrayim. And a Jew has to understand, the way that Mrs. Ostro clearly did, that wherever Hashem sends me, I have to try to make that into a meaningful place. And I have to try to make those moments matter. And be purposeful. And not, God forbid, to feel stuck or to feel burdened again by that mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us on. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was once asked in source number 3. This comes from the Sichos Haran, the conversations of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, recorded by his Talmud, Rav Nassan. Echad shol oso al inyan nisiyah la'ez makum im yisa l'sha. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was asked, and it's in the Zchus of Miriam Alexandra Bas Moshe. I just saw this piece for the first time this past Shabbos. Never saw this piece before. Someone asked Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, should I travel to a certain place? There's not a very strong Jewish community there. I don't know if I belong there. I feel like I need to go there for a particular mission, but I don't feel comfortable. What's it going to be like there? Is it going to have a negative effect on my religious practices? Heishavlo, Rabbi Nachman responded, Kishiroe Adam Nisiya Lefanov. When a Jew has an opportunity to travel. Some people have terrible anxiety when it comes to travel. Says Rabbi Nachman, let me teach you the proper mindset of a Jew when it comes to travel. Ein lo lihisakish limnoa mizeh. Don't be so stubborn to refuse the mission. If there's a place that you feel that you need to go and you feel that whatever reason, circumstances, life circumstances have sent you to a particular place, don't be stubborn and refuse to go there. Leishev babeso dafka. To be a homebody. I like being at home. I don't like going different places. Rabbi Nachman says, do you know what an opportunity it is for a Jew to travel? Ki b'chol makum sha'adam noseya l'sham, hu metakin sham ezadavar. Wherever a Jew goes, a Jew accomplishes something. I'll tell you one of the most spiritual experiences of my life. We were in camp a number of summers ago, and I had rented a U-Haul, which I shared with a couple of people up to camp that summer, to bring up all of our stuff. My stuff and some other people who were spending the summer with us, and I had to return the U-Haul. I'm driving like in some, you know, upstate Pennsylvania roads, and all of a sudden I got this idea. And it's an idea that I'm very fond of, and I use it a lot. I actually shared it with some high school students today. It's such an empowering idea. I like to think, and I was thinking this as I'm driving my U-Haul along these, you know, these big open fields, right, places where not too many Jews probably travel. I'm on my way to this little dinky U-Haul return, you know, station. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if a Jew ever traveled this road. Could be yes, could be no. Then I thought to myself, I wonder if a Jew ever learned Torah on this road. Since creation of the world, I wonder if Torah has ever been learned in this spot. I wonder if that tree out my window ever heard Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So now, please don't judge me, but I opened up my window and I turned to, I don't know, you know, the fields along my side, you know. And I said, pieces of grass, I want to let you on a little secret. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then I looked the other direction and I said, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim, Eis HaAretz. And it was so empowering. It's such a powerful idea. Maybe I'm the first person to ever learn Torah in this spot. Maybe I'm the first person to ever daven to Hashem in this spot. And the Chabina Rav, the great Gaon Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld, spent some time in Siberia. So it was a frozen day. It was a Leil Shabbos. And he gathered some Jews and he said to the Jews, come, we're going out into the frozen tundra to recite Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos. You know, a couple of beat up Jews from a long week working in these labor camps in Siberia. Yeah, but we're not going, what do you, suit right here. No, we're going out. And he took them out in the ice and the snow to a special area. And he said, Kabbalah Shabbos right here. And he said, we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Kol Hashem Yochil Midbar. Which means that scribes, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first spoke in the world, the voice of Hashem caused the wilderness to tremble. By Kabbalah Satorah. But he says, Kol Hashem Yochel. Yochel is also a lashon of what? Of being mitzapeh, of longing for something. Kol HaMayachelim LaHashem. So he said, Kol Hashem, for the voice of God, Yochel Midbar. The Midbar is longing. Do you know this frozen tundra, it's never heard the word of God. Let's go out and be Mekabel Shabbos in this place. Let's allow this place to be elevated. So says Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, when a Jew has an opportunity to travel to a place, don't be so quick to reject that mission. Everything a Jew does in that place is purposeful. He says right after it's bolted, Rakshi Yizar Lios Shomer Min Aveira. Okay, you should be careful not to do Averos there, obviously. Aval Kishuhu Rak Shomer Min Aveira Chas V'Shalom. But if you can be guarded, if you cannot make terrible mistakes there, as I call Adam Mitakin V'Chol Makom Shunosei L'Sham Afilu Ish Pashut Legamri. When a simple Jew with a deep Jewish soul, whether we know it a lot or we know it a little bit, but we're carrying it inside of us. When we go to that place, we accomplish something very, very deep and meaningful. Ki b'chol makum sha'odim ba l'sham, hu osa sham bavadei eze davar shebekedusha al kol panim. Because wherever we go, we must do something holy. Ki mispalo sham. You don't have to be the greatest davar in the world, but maybe you daven there. Ochel sham. You ate your kosher bagel that you brought along with you. Hopefully you made a bracha, you washed, you benched. Mevarich al achilaso, lefanu v'la'achav. All the things you do, he says, even the simplest Jew who travels somewhere is making a difference in the world. With the simple things that we don't even realize. But it could be that blade of grass, or it could be that spot that you're standing outside that rest stop on some highway saying Asher Yatzar, you might be the first Jew to thank God for the ability to use the restroom in that spot since the creation of the world. That's something for a person to think about. And then says Rabbi Nachman in the last line, if you turn over just the second side of the page, He says in the last line, it's a Kabbalistic concept, but he says where it's in the parentheses, in the very last two lines, V'sod ze merames b'pri etz chayim b'shar kriyashma. This is hinted to in the writings of the Kabbalistic writings of the Arizal, b'kavanas zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim. This has a lot to do with remembering our leaving Egypt, because it answers why we were in Egypt for so long. Remember your time in Egypt. Remember leaving Egypt. Remember when Hashem put you there. Remember when Hashem allowed you to travel out of Mitzrayim. Remember the long and complicated route to Eretz Yisrael. And go with a good attitude. Many tzaddikim explain the pasuk in Yeshai in source number 4. Ki v'simcha teitzeyu, uv'shalom tuvalun. Ki v'simcha teitzeyu, it's explained several different ways by tzaddikim. Ki v'simcha teitzeyu. When a Jew goes out, go out b'simcha. Or perhaps said differently, like some tzaddikim explained it, ki besimcha, when you have simcha, teitzeyu, that frees you from your captivity. That frees you from feeling stuck. Try to embrace the opportunity that you're given and the place that you find yourself, instead of feeling stuck. Again, as that rabbi said to those Jews trying to make it to the West Coast for Yom Tov, you're not stuck. You were sent to Middle America to have shvuas there. Maybe just you and your wife. But that's not called stuck. That's called being sent. And again, b'simcha teitzei, with the right attitude, you'll feel that you're not stuck. You'll feel freed from that captivity. When Klal Yisrael maybe began to understand that, maybe that was the moment that Hashem decided to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. The parsha that describes the travels of Klal Yisrael, the many, many stops that the Jews made throughout their journey, the sojourn in the Midbar, is the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, in source number 5. Eila Maaseh b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk notes these are the travels of Klal Yisrael, Asher Yotzu me'eretz Mitzrayim with Tzivosam, as the Jews emerged from Egypt, Yad Moshe v'Aaron, and it records the Torah in a very lengthy and seemingly unnecessary description. It records the Jews were here, the Jews were there, the Jews were here, the Jews were there, the Jews were here, the Jews were there. All the stops, places that we can hardly identify, even with a really good map. Vayichtov Moshe es motzeayim l'masaayim. Moshe recorded their going out according to their travels, al pi Hashem, ve'eila masa'eyam l'motza'eyam. And these are their travels according to the places they went out to. You'll notice, as it's bolded in source number 5, the pasuk uses the same phrase, but it reverses it. First it describes it as motza'eyam, they're going out, l'masa'eyam, according to their travels. And then the pasuk concludes, ve'eila masa'eyam l'motza'eyam. Why the reverse? Why does it switch it? From motza'eyim l'masa'eyim, masa'eyim l'motza'eyim. Rav Elia Meir Bloch and Rav Chaim Mordechai Katz, Rav Matal Katz as he was lovingly known, two of the great gedolim from the Telz Yeshiva, came to America on a fundraising mission and got stuck in America because of World War II. For years they did not know what happened to their family. Rachmana Litzlan tells Lithuania was completely decimated by the Nazis, and they found out years later that they had lost their entire families, and they rebuilt Telz in America with tremendous courage, a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, they built Telz in Cleveland. And at the groundbreaking ceremony, at the Chanukah Sabayah, so to speak, of the Telz Yeshiva, Rav Elia Meir Bloch, of the distinguished Bloch, Telz Yeshiva family, Rav Elia Meir Bloch got up to speak. And he quoted this pasuk, and he offered the following explanation. He says, if you remember the story in Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul HaMelech has had his eye on David HaMelech for future David HaMelech for quite some time. And Shaul's very angry at David. And Shaul feels that David's trying to steal his throne. And Shaul almost killed David a couple of times. Until finally David says, this is not working out, I gotta get out of here. And he turns to his good friend Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, and he asks him, tell me, give me an update, tell me how your father's feeling. And they coordinate this whole strange sign that he's going to signal to him while they're in the field. He says, I'm going to shoot the arrow, and if I shoot the arrow this way, then it means that you should run away, and if I shoot the arrow close, it means you can come close, my father's not so angry. And Rav Elia Meir Bloch quoted the pasuk, and he asked the following question. If you look in Shmuel Aleph, Parachaf, in source number 6, this is the statement of David and Yohanan, this is their secret plan. Imko amar le'elem, hine hachitzim mimcha v'hala. Yohanan says, if I say to the lad that the arrows that I have fired are beyond you, so that's a signal to David that what? Says the pasuk, Leich ki shalachecha Hashem. Go because Hashem has sent you. Says Rav Elia Meir, that's not what the signal means. If I shoot the arrows far off, that means go because my father's trying to kill you. Why does he say go because Hashem has sent you? Why doesn't he say run for your life Because you're in danger. Explain to El Yemei Blach, because that's never how a Jew goes wherever we go. David HaMelech understood that if he needs to run, it's not because Shaul is chasing after him. It's not that he's running away from something, it's that he's running towards something. Says the Pasuk, Lech, go, not because my father's trying to harm you, Ki Shilachecha Hashem, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending you on a mission. Can you imagine Rav Elie Meir and Rav Matl Katz rebuilding Telz? Their family is trapped, destroyed by the Nazis, Yimach Shom, their yeshiva destroyed, the whole community, their whole world destroyed. And to be able to say, we didn't get stuck in America, we were sent to America. And at the Chanukah Sabayas of the Telz Yeshiva, he quoted this Pasuk, and he said, I was sent here by Hashem. We were sent to America to transplant the Telz Yeshiva to America. And that's exactly what we're doing today. Imagine the courage, the perspective, Kishilacha Hashem, to see yourself as a Shliach of Hashem. So in a similar fashion, Rav Leib Gurwitz, who was Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead, passed away in 1982. Also survived a remarkable way in 1932, came from Poland to England. He had married, he came, he was able to escape the war in that way. And he explained the pasuk, that question that I asked a moment ago, on source number 5. Why does it say Motza'ayim l'Masa'ayim, and then Masa'ayim l'Motza'ayim? Explain Rav Leib Gurwitz. How do you see life? When you end up somewhere and you have an experience, is it just that you happened to end up there and you happened to encounter something there? So when the Torah says the Jews came to a certain place and there was water there, and they came to a certain place and there were palm trees there, is that all happenstance? Is that all accidental? Are you the type of Jew who sees things motza'ayim, I ended up going somewhere, and masa'ayim, and then things happen based on where I traveled? Or do you see things masa'ayim l'motza'ayim, that I traveled there because Hashem wanted me to have that experience there? Again, that's a choice that each and every one of us have to make throughout the course of our life. Do I see myself as being just the recipient of the randomness of this world? Or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting me in a certain place so I can have a certain type of experience there? And when a Jew thinks that way, you're never alone. You could be that Jew driving that U-Haul on some road, with some farmers and some tractors and some cows, but you feel that you're traveling with Hashem. And those blades of grass are calling out to you, give me a Dvar Torah. Say a Dvar Shebe Kedusha. Elevate this place. There's a reason that you find yourself here. It's not by chance that you find yourself in this place. When Hagar is sent out of the home of Avram Avinu, and Avram puts up a big fight, and we learn maybe one of the most important principles of the Torah, which is you should listen to your wife. As Hashem says to Avram, whatever Sarah tells you, that's what you should do. And he's pained. He's pained to send Hagar away, but he knows that's what he has to do. So he sends Hagar away. He sends Hagar out. And the Torah describes in source number 7, all the way back in Parshas Vayera, Avram wakes up early in the morning, and he gives Hagar some food, and he gives her some water, and he places the child on her shoulder, and off she goes. And the Torah describes, Vatelach Vatesa Bamidbar. Hagar goes out, and she's wandering, lost in the wilderness. It's easy to understand. She's not where she's supposed to go. She got kicked out of her own home by her own husband. All right, so she's wandering. She's wandering, trying to find somewhere to call home. She's wandering in the Midbar of Be'er Sheva. Rashi has an unusual comment. Rashi says, what does it mean that Hagar was wandering? She wasn't just geographically lost. She was spiritually lost. Says Rashi, source number 8, Chazra Leglule Beis Aviyah. She went back to her old habits of idol worship. She was wandering means that she went back. She wandered away spiritually. She wasn't just off the derech geographically. She was off the derech the way that people use the term, disconnected spiritually. How did Rashi know that? Maybe she's just lost. Maybe she's just a broken woman trying to find somewhere to call home. Maybe she's experiencing the difficulty of being thrown out of her house. How does Rashi know v'teilach v'teis of a midbar that she went and she wandered in the midbar? No, it's a spiritual struggle that she's going through. How did Rashi know that? How did he know that? Rav Shalom Shvadron, in his Sefer Leiv Shalom, he quotes from Rav Mordechai Pogromansky, who says the following explanation. Because when a person feels lost, that's a sign of a spiritual problem. Because as Jews, we're never lost. We're never disconnected. It's never Ger Shayim, it's never Tlisha Gedola, it's always Kirvu, going back to the first source from this year. It's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I want to bring you close in a different way. If you're feeling disconnected, if you're wandering without purpose, that's a sign that's an Avodah Zarah mentality. Explains Rav Shalom Shvadron in source number 9, the great Maggid of Yerushalayim. Again, quoting from Rav Mordechai Pogromansky, Yehudi af pam lo toa bederech. A Jew is never a wanderer. A Jew is never straying, lost in the fields. The place that you find a walk with purpose. Rav David Lulliver, one of the great tzaddikim, once went to visit the Chos of Lublin. He left his house, he hit the road, he started traveling. And as he was about, a couple of blocks away from his home, all of a sudden someone stopped him and said, "Your mother's in the neighborhood." His mother happened to be traveling in that place. Okay. He was surprised to hear. He was on his way to the Chos of Lublin. So he said, Your mother's right down this way. Just go make a right turn here and go visit your mother." So Rav David Lulliver says, "Hold on one second." He goes back to his house, goes into his front door, closes the door, opens the door again, gets in the mezuzah, goes down, and he travels to greet his mother. So I said to him, "What was that?" So he said, "When I left my house, I left with the intention of going to the Chos of Lublin, the Holy Seer of Lublin." He said, "I didn't leave. My footsteps were not guided with the intention of Kibbutz Avein, to visit my mother." He said, "So I have to go back to my house, and I have to begin the journey over to make sure that every step that I take is meaningful, is purposeful." Rav Moshe Feinstein was once walking to shul with his son, and he said to his son, 1,500 steps to go. So his son said, seriously? So Rav Moshe said, "Yes, 1,500, from this point, 1,500 steps. So he says, "How do you know that?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "When a Jew walks to shul, there's something called tzchar halicha. You get rewarded for every step that you take." Rav Moshe Feinstein had a way. He calculated. He said, "Every step I take on the way to shul is a meaningful step." Rav David Lulliver went back to his house to start his journey over because he understood every move a Jew makes in this world is meaningful and purposeful. So if Hagar is straying and wandering aimlessly in the field, it's a very clear indication that what? That she has an Avodah Zarah mentality. That's not how a Jew goes through this world. A Jew isn't stuck, a Jew is sent. A Jew walks with purpose. A Jew walks with Hashem by our side. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. It's an understanding as we come out of Egypt after 210 years, we weren't stuck when we were in Mitzrayim. We're certainly not stuck when we spend all those years in the Midbar trying to find our way to Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that you could say it's our own shortcomings and our own mistakes and all the reasons that we got stuck, in quotations, in the Midbar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is all part of the route. You know, the ways in the GPS sometimes recalculates. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His way of guiding us through this world. I want to end with one of my favorite insights from the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It comes from actually a very, very tragic source, but it's very, very powerful. There's a volume called The Shilas and Tshuvos Chesed Yehoshua. Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, a great tzaddik from the Papa Hasidic dynasty, the last Rav of Chust, and a survivor of the Holocaust. In a remarkable way. He passed away in 1969. He came to America, rebuilt a shul for himself and a kehillah in Bar Park. And he writes in the introduction to his Shilas and Tshuvos, his responses, halachic response to literature, he wrote a kuntris, a little section called Ein Dima, tear-filled eyes. And he describes some of his own personal recollections from the Holocaust. And in there he describes a scene that took place as the Nazis surrounded his town right before Pesach. See, the Nazis, they wanted to maintain a certain sense of false calm, that the Jews weren't in danger. So they would force the Jews, actually, at times, to maintain their regular schedule, living completely surrounded by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. But the Nazis told him, "You're the rabbi of the town, get the Jews to synagogue on Pesach, and we want you to get up and give a drasha." They forced him to give a drasha, unbelievable. So he says, he gets up before his kehillah, and he's wondering, what on earth am I supposed to say? Pesach. Geula. We're living in Meitzar. We're literally trapped. We're surrounded. We're in a ghetto. We're trapped on all sides. We don't know what's going to be from one second to the next. I'm supposed to get up and talk about the freedom. Zman Chayruseinu. What am I supposed to say? He got up. He said, "I had no idea what to say. I got up in front of the kila. I had no idea what to say." The entire place sees the Rav stand up to Darshan. Everyone's crying. Bawling. I'm standing there. I don't know what to say. He said, "Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put an idea in my head. I'd like to end tonight's shiur with this idea." He says, "Pirashti ba'oso maimer." I explained at that moment, at that time, at that gathering, at that forced gathering at the hands of the Nazis. Masha anu omrim b'hagadah shel Pesach. And you'll think about this. It's such a beautiful varn, and it's unfortunately in some ways just as true in 2019 as it was when he was experiencing it during the Holocaust. Baruch Hashem. We live in a Medina shel Chesed, so it's not nearly as tragic. But in a certain sense, everything he's about to say is 100% true to our experience as well. We also haven't had a Beis Hamikdash for 1900 years. We've had our fair share of galus. He says, we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Hashata hacha l'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Hashata Hacha, now we are here. Next year in Jerusalem, right? Next year in Israel. So he said, I don't understand. He turned to everyone in the crowd. He said, I don't understand. Why do we say Hashata Hacha? Now we are here. Shkoyach, now we're here. We're here. Yeah, we know we're here. What do you mean? Let's talk about where we want to be. Why am I saying now we are here? Why do I have to acknowledge now we are here? It doesn't say, it doesn't add anything. Right? We happen to be here. Yes, it's true, we're here. Hashata Hacha, Halashon Hashata Hacha Miyusar. It seems excessive. Kilo anachnu yodim shehinenu nimtzaim po. We know that we're here. Why do you want to tell you you're here? U'mayla meimra. And what's being said? Amnam amru chazal. Lo avir kutchabrichu nisa lemigna. He says, our sages teach us that Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing. When Hashem does a miracle, God is a very private God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very humble. Hashem is described as a kel mistater, as a God of concealment. Rav Soloveitchik would speak about that often. Hashem doesn't like to peer out from behind the curtain all that often. But there are times in history that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pokes his head out and reminds the world, hi, I'm still in charge. But Hashem doesn't waste miracles. He doesn't use them, open miracles so easily. Said Rav Yehoshua Greenwald, Chesed Yehoshua, he says to the Tzipor, Anu roim shekvar arata b'meshech yemei ha-melchama. Ubilbo ha'olam, asa itanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim v'chasad. Have we not, he turned to everyone around there in that crowd, he said, have we not seen open miracles? Hashata hacha, do you know how crazy it is that we're still alive? Many neighboring towns have already been completely destroyed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemah. Many of our friends and families have been destroyed. We're still alive, hashata hacha, we're still here. That itself is a miracle. So he said, Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing. If we made it this far, Hashat Tahach, if we can acknowledge the miracle of even surviving this long, then Lashana Abba Ba'arad Yisrael. And it's not so crazy to think. Even here, surrounded by the Nazis, that next year we can be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. V'chi yesh neiz yoser gadol mizeh. Asher Hashat Tahach, is there a bigger miracle than the fact that we're still alive? She'anachnu od yoshim hachva v'mekon osenu. Ba'od shel milyonim me'achinu b'nei Yisrael kvar ozvu esma'onam. That millions of other Jews have already been slaughtered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemah, Rachmana Litzlan. Right? For years, we've made it through. Mizeh yuchal lishbot. So therefore, we can ask and demand and hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yitosh chasto meitanu, if Hashem has been kind to us to get us to this point, let's dream big. Let's believe, yeah. If we're still here, let's believe next year in Yerushalayim. And I say this Vart every year at the Seder, because it's so true. Sometimes you look around the world and you say, like, you know, Mashiach, I don't know. When's this happening already? Beis HaMikdash, back to Eretz Yisrael. It's been a long time. Hashem, you still out there? Right? But then we say, hold on a second. B'klal Yisrael is still around. The Jewish people are still here. And we're gathering here tonight and we're learning Torah. And Jews are still davening and Jews are still growing and people are working on themselves and people are looking to be inspired. Right? And therefore, yeah, it's not so crazy. It's not so far off. If we made it this far, that we're still sitting here learning Torah, we're reading Torah from Tzadikim and Pesukim from all the generations, right? And we're able to still be connected to our ancient past and still bring it into the present, then yeah, then let's go big. Let's dream big. Let's dream about the possibility of next year. Yes, next year in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. So Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Halavai, it should be true. We should know how to travel like Jews. Like Mrs. Astro knew how to travel. Right? To be a person, B'simcha Teitzayu, to always go out with a sense of simcha, and a sense of real purpose in our life. And Amir Tzashem, if we continue to travel with the right attitude, and travel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by our side, and to elevate all of life's experiences and all the places that we find ourselves, then Amir Tzashem, it will become a reality. We'll be zochet to return to Eretz Yisrael with the Gula Shleima B'mehira B'Aminu Amen. Thank you all very much for being